Thank you, Catherine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Robin Proud. I'm the outgoing chair of the Religious Education Committee and a regular teacher for our youth. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities. Later in the service, we will invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They're presented either by a Prairie member or a member of the wider community, or eventually by our minister, who we are now searching for. And we also have some traditional services that involve all of us as a community, and that's actually what we're doing today. As far as announcements, I will point out that you have many announcements in your order of service. One other one here is, could we have two or three volunteers to help clean up after lunch?
Let's see.
All right, I see several. All right, so just remember who you are, because we will be having our soup Sunday. Any guests are welcome to stay as our guest, and otherwise there is a suggested donation, and we will then be having a parish meeting. Our opening words today will be presented by Paula Pichars.
The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone, our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens, and our strength is renewed.
Our first hymn is number 301, Touch the Earth, Reach the Sky.
Touch the earth, reach the sky.
chalice lighting this morning will be by the Pawelski family, Lynn, Glenn, Lauren, and Gilbert.
At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lightened the flame within us.
That's Albert Schweitzer.
And sometimes I say that our prairie children are just like Wobegon, they're all above average. We'll have one moment of silent meditation. Now, one moment. So now we have actual description here. As a caring community, we now take time to briefly share special joys, sorrows, or personal concerns with our prairie friends. And Susan has the microphone.
Good morning. Is it on? Good morning, Prairie. We're back. It's wonderful being back here after missing a summer because, as some of you know, I had four surgeries. My concern is that I'm not completely well, but I'm working on it, and I'm here. Yay.
So I have a couple joys and a joy and a concern. My first joy is I have my first child ever going to high school in the fall. So that's really exciting. The second one is today my friend, my very longtime friend who's like a sister to me, we went to college together. She's 48 years old and she's going to be induced to deliver her first child today. So that's a total miracle. So hoping that that all goes really well. And then my third joy and concern is my brother, who's a couple years younger than I am, on May 22nd had a brain aneurysm fixed at the University of Chicago Medical Center that they found because he was having symptoms. And he did fabulously. They did an endovascular approach, and they didn't have to open up his skull or anything. He's doing great. And then overnight, unfortunately, he bled into his brain. And because he was there, they saved his life. And he's doing great. I mean, as good as he can do right now. He's recovering now in a rehab hospital in Rockford. So he's cognitively very intact. He just has to learn how to walk and balance. He bled into his cerebellum. So your thoughts and prayers for his total recovery are really appreciated. Thanks.
I have two joys and one concern. I want to thank my son for being such a wonderful child. He's not a child anymore. He's 28, but I still think of him as he sent me a picture of him when he was little and as a birthday gift, and he had it framed I was in the picture too, and he had it framed, and it was just beautiful. And whoever marries him is going to get a wonderful man. My second joy is I've recovered from a concussion. I fell down a flight of stairs at a friend's house, and I too had a brain bleed, and I was in three different hospitals for 2 months, and I still have it's like Alzheimer's symptoms. I can't find words. I can't remember what my point is. But they say in 6 months to a year, I'll be fine. And my concern is my mother. She's 90 years old, and she's moved into an assisted living unit. and she's been having many problems, and she keeps calling the police, so they've taken her phone away from her and put her on a second floor that's called the memory unit. And there she'll get much more care. They'll help her get dressed and undressed. They'll bathe her. They'll feed, you know, she gets her meals. And we're hoping that she's going to be very safe and secure in this unit. And I'd like people to think of her and pray for her if they pray or whatever, meditation. Anything you do for my mother. Thank you.
Our joy is we've had a visit from Nevena, our daughter, since last Monday, but she's been at WISCON from Tuesday to Thursday, and then she's been with us, and we've had a very busy time, and she'll be here for lunch, I hope.
I have both a joy and concern. The concern is that I understand Dave Zakim isn't doing too well, so I'm hoping to get out to see him next weekend. He's really in need of visitors. So I'm not sure of the address of where he is, but you can, I think Ruth has sent out emails with it, so you can just check with Ruth.
Sunny Hill.
Right at the juncture of Midvale and Macomb.
Okay, thank you. And also I had a joy, out of the blue a few days ago, we have some genealogy stuff up on the web, and I got a call from a cousin my mother lost track of her father back in the 40s, and because that part of the family was estranged. It turns out the reason was her grandfather was bootlegging and married a madam. Which I didn't know. I just knew that there'd been this big schism. So bless the internet. We talked on the phone on Friday for like 2 3/4 hours or something. And she lives in California. This is his second cousin. So it was very fun.
Sunroom Cafe on State Street currently has an exhibit of photography entitled Street Photography, and general consensus is that the best picture in the whole exhibit is by Marty Drabkin entitled Dancers, or not general consensus, just my opinion. But so go there, but if you go there, I advise going in the morning so that you can couple seeing the exhibit with tasting their wonderful Florentine omelet. What's that? Sunroom Cafe on State Street.
Hi, I think as everybody knows, there's such an important election coming up Tuesday, and I know I can't be making paid political announcements, but I assume that everybody here knows how important it is to vote and to get everybody you know to come with you. I mean, we all know it's about voter turnout. I've been out, I'm sure many of you have been out, and it's just so important. Thanks.
And for all those joys and concerns that have not been expressed, we'll light a final candle. Now is the time for us to welcome guests and visitors. If you're here for the first or second time or haven't attended for a while, we invite you to introduce yourself. Or are we doing that later? Are we in the right place? Okay. We invite you to introduce yourself or say what brought you here if you would like to. And I don't know if we have Joe.
Well, hi everyone. You might remember me from last week. I just wanted to say that I so thoroughly enjoyed the fellowship that I saw here that I really felt like I wanted to come and see more. So I wanted to thank you for welcoming me in.
Rebecca, where's Rebecca? Oh, there we are. Okay. Rebecca Malky-Alaghenti will present the main part of our program and explain about our transition service.
So good morning. And as you know, I'm Rebecca Malky, and I'm the Director of Religious Education for Youth and Children here at Prairie. As most of you know, this year's theme for religious education was social justice and our children. And when I say our, I don't mean just the parents, I mean the congregation as a whole, have spent the year focusing on principles of treating everyone fairly, because it is important, in building a peaceful, fair, and free world, and that everyone, no matter how small, has a voice in this world. There are many people who have made this year possible, and I'll be recognizing them later in the service. And even though you may not have taught this year or volunteered a large amount of time, all of you should be thanked for being so welcoming and caring to our children and youth. I mentioned once how I had been at a conference for directors of religious education, and a number of the people there said that, actually I think everybody except for me had said that they have a real problem with their congregation not being welcoming to their youth and their children. Some of the complaints they hear is that the intergenerational services are filler programs, or that they don't need to have the story for all ages upstairs. It's something that the children should just be in their classrooms right away. And I was just flabbergasted, and I said, I have to oftentimes turn people away from volunteering because I have so many people here who want to work with their youth. And several years ago, we had ended the Story for All Ages for a while, and I kind of thought that would be something I would mention and be kind of quiet with the congregation, and so many people were complaining, and it was a very nice complaint to hear, but people were saying, I want to see the children up here. You need to bring the children story back to Prairie, and so after a year we did, but it was because of all of you who had complained about it. So I want to thank you all for being so welcoming to all of our children and being so willing to volunteer your valuable time to be with them every Sunday. And some of you may not think that it's what you do is a big deal, but it is. Reading a children's story on Sunday morning is a huge deal for our children. And there have been cases where our children have had a concern, and I've had people come up to me after the service to say that they wanted to get in contact with that child because they had gone through a similar thing when they were a child, and they wanted to be able to reach out and help them. And mystery friends, writing letters back and forth for a month and a half where you're getting to know the adults. I always have to turn people away, adults, from mystery friends, because I have so many of you who want to write letters and be in contact with the children. And these are things that I hear don't happen in other congregations, but I want to thank you for that. Now, some of you have volunteered one or two times in a classroom, have helped chaperone an RE event, or, like I said, took part in the Mystery Friends. And some of you have offered your assistance and your wisdom and guidance to our youth. Everything done, no matter how small or large, is appreciated. Which brings me to the children's story this morning. So I wanted to call up our children, our youth, young adults to come. And this is the starfish story.
Want to hold up.
This is a story that many of you might be familiar with. An old man had a habit of early morning walks on the beach. One day after a storm, he saw a human figure in the distance moving like a dancer. As he came closer, he saw that it was a young woman, and she was not dancing, but reaching down to the sand, picking up a starfish, and very gently throwing them into the ocean. "Young lady," he asked, "why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" "The sun is up and the tide is going out, and if I do not throw them in, they will die." "But young lady, do you not realize that there are miles and miles of beach and starfish all along it? You cannot possibly make a difference." The young woman listened politely,
paused, and then bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it into the sea, past the breaking waves, saying, "It made a difference for that one." The old man looked at the young woman and thought about what she had done. Inspired, he joined her in throwing starfish back into the sea. Soon others joined, and all the starfish were saved. And so, like I said, no matter what you do, everything makes a difference, and everyone can make a difference. And so I have several copies here, and if you guys could stand up and hand them out to your teachers, that would be great. So people who have taught this year who are here today, Paula Pacheris, if you could stand up. Do you have three teachers? And Randy Converse. And some who are missing today are Marsha Johnson, Karen Deaton, and Andy Gars. Now, Robin Proud. And Toby. Is Toby here too? Did Toby get one? And so if you didn't have a chance to see that, that is an image of a child's hand holding up a starfish with a story, the starfish story on there. I wanted to talk a little bit about the importance of religious education. There's a book I received during another conference that I attended last year called Essex Conversations, Visions for Lifespan Religious Education. Sounds very exciting, and it was. And in there is a quote about the importance of attending not only RE, but for families to attend church on Sunday morning. So I'm just going to read you that quote. "The question is often asked by people, why should we go to church? We are so busy and our children are so busy. The answer to that is simple. Because you're so busy. We should go to church precisely because of soccer practice and violin lessons and hockey and gymnastics. Precisely because more of us are working longer hours, traveling more, and commuting farther. Precisely because our lives are structured, task-filled, and goal-focused." It goes on to say that these activities take us away from family and friends, and on Sunday morning, it's a time for you to be with your family and friends. Where else can you go where you know you are meeting people with the same values, where you won't be judged for your beliefs? This is especially important for our children who are growing in their faith and may encounter other children who have never heard of Unitarian Universalism, or in some cases are judged because of their views of God or lack of belief in God. This is a safe place, a sanctuary, where we know we are welcome no matter our abilities or inabilities, our age, our sexual orientation, or family structure. There are not a lot of places in today's world that will welcome everyone, but Prairie is that place, and it's important for ourselves to feel renewed and energized spiritually and intellectually. There's another book where a rabbi asks parents, "How many of you want your children to be professional soccer players?" And then he asked, how many of you want your children to be Jews? I think the same could be said of us. How many of you want your children to be raised UU and continue to be UU? But how do we do that? It's by attending religious education. Studies have shown that those who have attended religious education on a regular basis were more likely to stay in the tradition than to fall away. Our students may take interest in other faiths, but the beauty of Unitarian Universalism is not that we can believe whatever we want to believe, but that we can explore other traditions like Buddhism or paganism or Christianity, and they can stay with us and combine that with our Unitarian Universalist beliefs. RE teaches our children that they're not just studying worldly religions because it's fun and interesting, which it is, but it's actually teaching them about our Unitarian Universalist roots. It's another way to look at the world, to explore their beliefs, and in many cases expand on what they believe by taking what they've learned from one or more traditions and adding it to their own. And this isn't something that our families should do alone. It's important for everyone in our congregations to support our families and our students in this journey. Now, I would like to thank those who have dedicated their valuable time and energy to helping our children continue to grow as Unitarian Universalists. So I have little gifts for them and cards. And since our theme was social justice this year, our teachers will be receiving a cloth bag from the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, Plant Justice, Harvest Peace. So I wanted to start with Paula Pacheres. She did the high school class, and she was the only teacher for that class. Randy Converse.
Can I shake your hand?
I always enjoyed eavesdropping on Randy's classes. Oh, 4th through 6th grade.
And third through sixth grade.
Oh, yes, Randy introduced selling of the goods from the Vietnam, El Salvador.
Yeah.
Oh, you sent the money. Oh, you keep me on my feet, Aaron. And our next teacher, she was a co-teacher for Randy, was Robin. Robin Proud. Now, Robin, I'm going to say, Robin was also for the past 3 years the chair of the Religious Education Committee. And I appreciate all of the help you've done. A starfish.
Oh, thank you.
Toby Wacker has been here almost every single Sunday helping out with the youngest class, the preschool class, the 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. She was daring enough to come back each Sunday, and it's been a huge, huge help. And so I wanted to give you a card. Could actually get Jed and Ulysses to come up here. Some of the other people who have taught that are not here today is Karen Deaton, Andy Garst, and Jason Yaruso, who moved recently, and Marsha Johnson. And also we have two people who have been working in the nursery. We have Jed Anderson, which is the son of Molly Plunkett and Peter Anderson, and Ulysses, and they have been here for almost a full year, and they've been very dedicated to our youth and our children. I know my sons personally just adore them, and they're very mindful of the students, always playing with them, always happy and welcoming, and I just wanted to thank them too, so they'll be coming up because they're hard at work. But they're also always willing to be here for a service Sunday, an RE event, and potluck Sundays, and it's been great having people who have been dedicated to our young people. So this is Jed. And Ulysses. Thank you. And next up is James Hughes. James will be making a big transition into high school next year, and I wanted to talk a little bit about James. James is a very unique student. I've always enjoyed having James here in the RE. Every year, James will tell me, "Oh, Rebecca, my birthday's coming up," and I'll say, "Oh, are you going to be 16 now?" And the first time he said, "Rebecca, I'm only 12. And I'm usually not, I'm really pretty good with ages. And the following year, he told me, "Oh, my birthday's coming up." And I said, "Oh, you're gonna be 16 this year, you're gonna be driving?" And he goes, "Rebecca, I'm 13. And I'm always thinking, why do I always think James is older than, you know, what he really is? And I can give you some examples as to why that is. When James first started coming here, I think you were 8 or 9, and we had a spirit circle downstairs. And it was right after the new year, and I wanted to ask the children, you know, to create a picture of what you want to see for the world this year. You know, and they have clean water and plants and world peace. And when we got to James, James started talking about Kenya and the plight of the people in Kenya. And I'm thinking, my God, he's 8 years old. And he was just, you know, he gave this nice talk about it, and I was blown. And another thing that James has done that, you know, we all have these times in our jobs where we feel like, are we making a difference? Am I doing something? Am I really, you know, reaching out to people? And last year, during our World Religions Year, I had asked somebody from Circle Sanctuary, which is the pagan center in Barneveld, to come and talk about Wicca. And as someone, I identify as being a UU pagan, so for me, all of this was very normal talk, but I started to try to look at it from someone who was hearing it for the first time, and I thought, oh, this probably sounds a little bizarre to our youth. So I had asked James afterward, what did you think of all of this? This was a lot of, you know, kind of intense information. And James gave the perfect example that of what I wish everybody in the world would say. He said, meh, it's just another way of believing. He didn't think it was weird, he didn't think it was strange, he didn't think they were going to hell, he didn't think that, you know, there was something wrong with these people. He just thought this is another way of believing, and I thought that's the response I wish everybody in this world had when they encountered another religious tradition. It's just another way of believing. So I am very happy to introduce you to you, James Hughes.
Hi, everybody. Excuse my sniffles and stuff like that. I just got like a spur of the moment cold last night. So I only have a couple things to say because I ripped this up at like 11 o'clock last night because I was sick and tired and I forgot about it. So you know, I'm stepping into high school. Our RE class this year, you know, it was quite small, and Cheyenne isn't here today, but me and her really pushed through the class, even though we didn't really have, you know, if one of us was gone or whatever, we try to have a class get going. You know, the class would kind of struggle and stuff, but I think, you know, this upcoming year would be better luck and stuff like that, and hopefully some of these kids would be moving into the high school class or the high school and middle school class, so then we can have more kids in that dedicated area. I kind of want to share my first time here because my parents always bring it up to me and stuff like that, and how why I like the church and stuff like that. The first day I came here, I basically said to my mom, I like it here, and that's basically because of all the teachers and all of you. I don't know, I just said I liked it here, and that was basically the turning point of why we are here today, or else we would be going to first. So, and my sister also said the same. So basically that's it. I have tons of interests and stuff like that I want to get into in high school. In high school, in school, but then also here. In school, I'd like to get involved in a lot of AV type stuff, computer clubs and stuff like that. Thank you, Car Alarm. I don't know. But then here, I'd just like to get into more world religions. Basically, that was my basic favorite unit here because we've been a couple, once a month maybe or something, we go to different churches or places of worship, you know, and get to see leaders and stuff like that. And Rebecca, when the high school class was still here, when the high school class was full, it was really fun just going around and stuff like that. So I'd like to thank all of you guys for supporting me, and I hope to see you guys in the future. And then a big thanks to Rick Rucking, wherever he is, for kind of helping me through the way through this whole process. So thank you.
And James, I have a UU pin. Some people have necklaces, and I think one of our students, he wanted earrings, but James wanted a pin, so that's our symbol there. Thank you. And I have one more person to thank. I wanted to recognize Rose Smith. Every Sunday, I forget to get a reader, you know, for the story for all ages. And every Sunday I come in and I said, oh, Rose, could you read the story? And she always says, of course, I would love to. And we have a number of people who have read stories. Al has read stories, and Peter, and Mary, Jane Richards has, and a number of us have done this. But Rose has done it almost every single Sunday. And I wanted to thank you, Rose. So I also have a card. That I've left on my chair. No. So next year, our theme will be our Unitarian Universalist Principles and Heritage. And if you're looking for a rip-roaring good time, you can let me know about teaching. We're always in the need of for teachers. Next year, though, I think Robin Proud has again, you can explain a little more about what your class will be doing, but also I want you to talk about the length of time that you have spent, the years you have spent volunteering your time. It's really quite amazing.
Well, I could say something about the summer and the fall.
Sure.
And let's see, where's my, where that sheet is with all the ideas.
Oh, there's a couple things that I wanted to say here. First of all, I wanted to do something last week with the kids, but not that many were here, where we talked about what was good this year and what we could do better next year. Like a couple things that were good were having Randy as a teacher was fabulous. Having more kids was great. Oh, thank you. And things that could be better, well, now that we have more kids, maybe a bigger room. So, and then just ideas of things to do. And just in case anyone missed it, we actually put on two theatrical presentations, or maybe three. Did we do a skit this year at Christmas? We did a, we
yeah,
did
we
some,
did a skit.
We did, we did a
did
skit
a
about
skit.
Christmas.
We did the Christmas skit.
And we did the Dr. Seuss program, yeah, but we also did one about the UUSC. Some of these kids weren't here yet, but in the fall we did that where it was about the four faces on the side of that Guess at Your Table box. So we, those are some of the things we did. So it seems a shame to have that energy dissipate over the summer. And we don't have a regular curriculum, but we have an opportunity to do a lot of fun things. So I just started brainstorming some that I put on here, like kitchen science, some experiments with common items. Wood shop, somebody to bring in some wood scraps and tools and make stuff, right? A nature walk in a park or arboretum with maybe a theme or someone that knows something to point out. A field trip of your choosing. Prairie Olympics, you can make up your own sports and maybe make a newspaper or a website. Somebody here who has an expertise, like for instance, Marcia Johnson knew about trees, so I know one time with the younger kids, she actually brought in the slice of wood and showed them how to count the rings and talked about trees. Well, many of you have expertise or different types. And I also want to make a plug for some people who are not here. Some of you have husbands or grandparents in the family who are not necessarily interested in coming and sitting at our program, but they might appreciate what we're doing for the youth. And so someone who would like to do woodworking or take the kids out for something or share their expertise, we would love to have that to expand our community and just a chance to do that. Another thing I think would be great on a hot day would be to have a car wash. That it could raise money for whatever we want to donate it to, and we just have to arrange the logistics to get the cars in the right places and so on, and kids can wear swimsuits and squirt each other with water and while they're washing cars. And so this is a sheet that I made up here that everybody's welcome to look at, and we will have a sign up where one or two people, or preferably a couple people a week, could sign up for these or any other activities. And Catherine, who's one of our leaders, I think, in our group, had the idea that kids could start making up their own list, and we're very open to that. Then next fall, we are hoping that Rachel Long, who said she'd like to work with the youth, would work with the high school because she's been personally requested. There was a request for you. And also Dan Proud, who was requested, to work with our youth to do the coming of age year, which Barb Park created last time, really, is something to get them familiar with UU history and end with a trip to Boston for the young people that are in high school. So that's something you guys can look forward to in a few years. So that's what we're looking for. Now this group, I'm kind of torn. To this group, I have this concept that this group should stay together and not necessarily, you know, have any of them split up even as they get into kind of the middle school years, because everybody seems to get along really well. And we are going to be doing some things with the UU principals, but I'm sure we'll also be doing some drama and some creative dioramas or other productions. We like to do that. And so we'll be continuing with that. We do have openings for people to work with the younger kids who are from about 4 to 7 years old. Somebody has a question back there? Nope. Or he's one of the ones you'd get to work with in that class. Okay. And we're looking for people that would do this, say, once a month. And with that group, there's usually an element of education that would be related to the principals. For instance, there'll be a story or there'll be an activity, and then it's a very active group. So anything that we can do to keep them engaged and having fun. It's not a lot of sitting down and lecturing. You don't need to have a lot of background yourself to do that. Just energy. So those are some of the opportunities coming up here in the summer and the fall. And I'd like to thank everybody that has helped out at all the different times. And I'll turn back to Rebecca.
Well, actually, Robin, you're being very modest. I wanted you to let everybody know how long you've been teaching, because this is a great group of students, all of them from just birth on. I just love our students. And you have been teaching for a very long time.
Well, originally, my kids were both, you could say, born into the UU church. We should mention that. Dan and I were living in Minneapolis, where it was a lot like here. There's big First Unitarian Society. We went there once. No one noticed us. Then we went to a small place about this size. I was also 9 months pregnant. And Dan, they could hear Dan singing when the singing was happening. So everyone noticed us. And we joined. Both our kids went through there. And so I taught pretty much every curriculum there was. And then when we came here, I didn't do anything for a couple years. But somewhere when I started teaching, some of these kids were in kindergarten and first grade. And I didn't plan this, but somehow I just sort of moved up with them. So now they're stuck with me until they graduate, I think. But it's really delightful to see them. And I want to give a special thank you to the Richards family, who doubled the size of our class.
Now, that's another way you can give to REs, having children.
Oh, the Catholic method, is that it? The Mormon method, okay. Bringing your friends. Actually, one reason, I think, was that Karen Deaton kept mentioning to Jane and John, who had gone to First in the past or to other places, that we were here and got them to come over here. So, I think after we finish this part here, we will have time for a little bit of welcoming of some of our new families, of which this is one. So.
Yes, and before we move on, I just wanted to recognize Susan Herrhoim, and she will be taken over as the chair of the RE committee.
So we had some new members that were welcomed last week, but not everyone was able to be here, and we have several others today. And Erin is going to lead that.
So last week, we welcomed some new members. We welcomed Melinda and CJ and Dean. And some of the other people that showed interest in signing our membership book were not here, so we will welcome them today. And that would be Gary, and Jane, and John. Come on up. Yep, a welcoming basket for each of you, which includes your official prairie name tag, so you don't need those sticky things anymore, and you can store it up on the board, so you have it every week. Now, I need to say hello to Gary, because I have spoken to Gary 3 times on the phone, but never actually seen him. But we had long conversations. So last week, when I was doing this, I was reminded of that old Girl Scout song, Make New Friends But Keep the Old, one is silver and the other is gold. But today, on the way here, I was reminded of another song. I'm not the best prairie singer, but consider yourself at home. Consider yourself part of the family. We've taken to you so strong. It's clear we're going to get along. That's all the words I know. I also want to give you an opportunity to just tell us something about yourself, where you live, what your jobs are, what brought you here, whatever you'd like to say.
So we adopted Gavin and Destiny when they were 6 and 7. So, and Elijah and Cecilia are our biological children. And one of the things that Destiny really wanted was a church. So she really, really was interested in church. And so we did go to the first unit UU for many, many months, and it was large, and it was a little bit overwhelming for us. So we kind of, you know, we dropped out, and Destiny and the kids all went, we still need a church. And at which point, Karen kept saying, you'll really like prairie. You'll like. And so that's how Destiny came with Jesse one weekend. And then the next weekend, all of us came, and the kids left. The same thing that we heard is, this is our church, and that was it. And so that was in January, and we have been coming fairly regularly since. Is you know, we're busy people with four kids, but I am a work part-time. We live on the west side of Madison, and anything else you need to know about me, I guess that's it.
I'm not sure I have a whole lot to add. But I work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Jane is modest. She does. She works part-time. She's a full-time mom. She has about 2.5 lives together, I think. And also next year she's being brave, and the kids are actually homeschooling next year, which means that another full-time job for Jane.
Oh my
so.
God. Can you introduce the children?
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
Gavin is our oldest. Stand up.
Come on up.
Come on up. But Eli, he's 10. He will be 11 in at the end of August. And then here is Elijah. And he is 10, and he will be 11 in October. And there is Destiny, who is the next. She is 9 and will be 10 in early September. And Cecilia is the baby. If you can consider the baby, she's 9 and will be 10 in November. So they're all within 15 months of each other.
Well, I don't know that I have much to say that you I first came to Prairie about a month and a half ago. At the time, I'd thought about Unitarianism for a long time. In fact, I went to the first Unitarian a couple times several years ago, and it didn't fit me. Not the religion, the institution. And I just been going to St. Mark's Lutheran Church because my wife was a member, and it didn't fit me because of the religion. And so things were changing in my life, and I decided a month and a half ago it's time to strike out on my own and figure out where I wanted to be. And so I looked up Prairie in the phone book, and I looked up James Reed in the phone book. I said, I'd go to one week, one the next, and then decide where I want to go. And I came here, and James said it perfectly for me. I like it here. So I stayed.
Well, we want to welcome all of you, and it is my habit to give people a hug, and I'm going to give a lot of hugs today. So, okay, get your first Cecilia, Destiny, and Elijah.
We bonded on a prairie bike trip.
Yeah.
Since we have a few minutes, I want to do something that I was going to do. We can still do this in our class, but we actually did this at work, which was kind of unusual, that in a meeting we went around and said something we liked about each other. A work that doesn't happen that often. But I wanted to acknowledge something about these kids, for so that the ones that that I know in this class here, for instance, Lauren, who's sitting back there, I really am impressed that Lauren knows so much about all kinds of sports. And Gilbert, everyone is always impressed with how well he reads, and he actually uses that in the class and reads to the other kids. And Destiny, I noticed how you are so friendly, and you've taken care of some of the younger kids, like Gil, and befriended them. Cecilia, I noticed that you are not fearless at all. When we were at the retreat, you got up and didn't act, and then the next day when we had the key log ceremony, you just went up and sat right in the front row, and you're just fine with everybody. And Catherine, you're really a leader in our class and can get things going. And Gavin, you were very helpful with getting our popcorn going and some of our snacks and things, and taking that on. And Elijah, you were very creative when we were making our props for the, especially for the Butter Battle book, where we had to use all these materials. And Aaron, you have great dramatic ability. You're always wonderful in, everyone's wonderful in the plays, but especially so in, for Indy and Kieran, they're always full of enthusiasm. And Indy's also a very good friend. He's very friendly to the new kids that come, and we appreciate that. So anyway, those are some of the kids that I've been interacting with. And of course, that's only one thing. Did I miss somebody? Rachel's our best artist, and you know what I thought about you before, Rachel, is that you're very modest. Rachel is the one who's not putting herself forward all the time, so I apologize, but I did not forget you. I had that in mind, and I still have the bag that Rachel did the art on when you were about like 7, and it's excellent. So yes, anyone else that's sitting in the back that I missed? And James is what our other kids want to grow up to be. So, yes. Who has the traveling mic there?
It's behind. I think it's coming.
Unitarian Universalists we want to be accurate. What you saw was a sea star. There are no gills on that little creature. It's not a fish. It's a sea star.
That's good. We do appreciate science. I think we're ready for our offering and offertory. And so Lynn, I think you're, oh, maybe you only are part of your, oh, okay. And Barb, okay. All right. Oh, I see. Oh, this was going to be Cheyenne, who is our other high school student. She is sick, so Barb. I did this on the spur of the moment.
Thank you.
color, adults are above average too. For our final hymn, it's number 124, and please stand as you are able. You'll want to look in the responsive reading in the back of that same hymnal, number 652. And Aaron, do you want to bring the hymnal up here? There's a part that you read, and then they read the other part. So let's find that here, 652. Okay, so you're going to read this part, and then they're going to read this.
The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but stir up their own.
Not to make them see with our eyes, but to look inquiringly and steadily with their own.
Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth.
Not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward springs.
Not to bind them by
ineradicable
prejudices, but to our particular set or peculiar notions.
But to prepare them for impartial, conscientious judging of whatever subjects may be offered to their decision.
Not to burden their memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought.
Not to impose religion upon them in the form of arbitrary rules, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment.
In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul, to excite and cherish the spiritual life.
William Ellery Channing. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for all for coming. Please extend a hand of friendship to those around you, and please stay and join us for our soup lunch and our meeting.